Thank you for coming to hear about Lord Balaram. I'll try and say something which is helpful for our Krishna consciousness, because that's what we're supposed, that's what we're here for. And we can begin with a little prayer to Lord Balaram. So maybe everyone can repeat. I'll read the translation first. Obeisances to you, O holder of the plow. Obeisances to you, O wielder of the club. Obeisances to you, O beloved of Revati. Obeisances to you, O most affectionate to your devotees. Obeisances to you, O upholder of the earth. Obeisances to you, O strength of the strong. Obeisances to you, O enemy of Palamba. Please be merciful and protect me, O elder brother of Krishna. So I'll just say a few words at a time. We can repeat. Namaste.
Namaste.
Halagraha.
Halagraha.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Mashalayuda.
Mashalayuda.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Revati Kanta. Namaste.
Namaste.
Bhaktavatsala.
Bhaktavatsala.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Balanam Shvesta.
Balanam Shvesta.
Namaste. Dharani Dara.
Pralambare.
Namaste.
Stu.
Trahi.
Mam.
Krishna Purvaja. So Lord Balaram appeared on this day. The question is, why did he appear? And what does it have to do with us? Because Krishna consciousness is actually our original consciousness, and Krishna is manifesting himself, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, in order to bring about our original state of Krishna consciousness. And everything he does is systematically to help us come to that platform again. So Lord Balaram appeared as the seventh son of Devaki. But he was transferred by Yogamaya into the womb of Rohini at the seventh month of pregnancy. So why was Balaram, what was he doing in Devaki's womb for 3 months, or 7 months actually? What was he doing there? Why did he appear in Devaki's womb and then was transferred to Rohini's womb? And why were the six nuns of Devaki killed one after another? And who were they? And what was Balaram doing when he appeared? What was his activities? What does it have to do with our Krishna consciousness? Did he just appear so we could have some nice stories to tell on his appearance day? Or perhaps he appeared so that on his appearance day we can have Varuni and have a chance once a year to get intoxicated. That may be part of the reasons for his appearance, but it may not be the major reason. So there are six sons of Devaki, and of course we know that there was a voice from the sky said that the eighth child of Devaki will kill you. So what were the six other children? They were actually previously sons of Kalanimi. Now who is Kalanimi? He was the son of Hiranyakashipu. And who is Hiranyakashipu? He was a demon. And he was killed by Lord Nrsimhadev. But how did the six sons of Hiranyakashipu, grandsons of Hiranyakashipu, wind up in the womb of Devaki? Because they were also demons. Well, actually, they were originally sons of Marichi, and they were cursed to take birth and be killed in the womb of Devaki. But they represent lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and illusion. And therefore, Kangsu was kind enough to kill them. Before Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki in order to purify her womb. Actually, Devaki's womb doesn't have to be purified. But Balaram, it's his service to Krishna to act as his bedstead. It's one of his services. He actually acts as his shoes, his sacred thread. He acts as his bed. In so many different ways, Balaram is serving Krishna because he has the mood of a servant. And he comes into the womb of Devaki before Krishna does in order to provide a bed for Krishna. In case Krishna is tired, he can lie down for the 7 months or 9 months of pregnancy. So Balaram is there as the bed. And although Devaki is transcendental because she's a Nitya Siddha devotee, still these six sons, lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion, are killed first. But that doesn't mean that Devaki was actually contaminated by them. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, itakashasito nityam vayu sarvatargo mahan tatasarvani bhutani mastaniti padarya. I should know that just like the air is blowing everywhere, but still it always rests within space, so know that all created things rest in me. In other words, when Krishna comes to the world, he's never contaminated by the material energy. Or when the jiva's souls enter into Krishna at the time of annihilation, time of complete annihilation, Krishna does not become contaminated when the jivas enter into him. So in the same way, when these six sons of Marichi, who were cursed to die by the hands of their great-grandfather, or their, however they call it, by Kangsa, who was the son, who previously was Kalinimi, who was killed by Vishnu, who was the son of Hiranyakashipu. They were cursed to be killed by him. So they were killed by him, and of course later on they got reinstated as being demigods, because after being killed by Kangsa, they went to the planet of Sutala. Sutala is where Bali Maharaj reigns. And there they took up residence until Krishna was requested by his teacher, Sandipani Muni, he was requested by Devaki, because Devaki had heard that previously Krishna had granted a request to his teacher, Sandipani Muni, to bring back his dead son. And who was his dead son? Does anyone know? Marumangal was taken away by Yamaraj. And Krishna brought back Sandipani Muni's son, Marumangal, to Sandipani Muni. And so Devaki had heard that Krishna had granted a boon to his teacher, Dakshin, to bring back their son. And so she requested that she could get a chance to have her six dead sons brought to her back also. So Krishna went to Sutala and brought back these six sons. And because Devaki had, they were in the form of a little baby, so now Devaki had six little babies. And because previously, before Krishna left for Mathura, Mother Devaki had wanted to breastfeed him, so she breastfeed Krishna, so her milk was just like nectar. And when these six sons, when she breastfeed these six sons, they all became self-realized souls, and then they went back as to their positions in the heavenly planets as pure devotees. So it wound up first, they were cursed by Brahma. Does anyone know why were they cursed by Brahma? Well, we're learning something new. Well, Brahma had become overwhelmed by material desire, and he chased after his daughter, who assumed the form of a stag, a female deer. And when the six sons of Marici saw this, they became aghast that how Brahma, the original spiritual master of the universe, could chase after his daughter. And because of just the thought of that, they were cursed to take birth as sons of Hiranyakashipu. So just a thought in the heavenly planets, the wrong thought gets you into trouble. So we should be happy we're not in the heavenly planets. Otherwise, who knows where we'd wind up. So here we think something positive, Krishna conscious, in Kali Yuga we get the credit. And all these thoughts, if we don't act upon them, we don't get the merits. But unfortunately for the sons of Marici, therefore the first mental son, one of the mental sons of Brahma, they became cursed. But they became purified eventually and got the chance to have Krishna's darshan, be breastfed by Mother Devaki, and go back to the heavenly planets as pure devotees. So it's a happy ending for them. But they represent the material consciousness that leads to materialistic consciousness. So Balaram, Lord Balaram, comes after these six types of material consciousness are purified, and he comes to deliver, to make the womb of Devaki suitable for Krishna's appearance, and then he takes birth in the womb of Rohini as the elder brother of Krishna. Now, Balaram, as we know, he represents the original spiritual master. So the original spiritual master, anyone who's taking the role of a spiritual master, we should know what their duties are. Now, generally we take the spiritual master as the initiating guru, but everyone, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka, Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amara Aga Guruhana Tari Desh, that anyone Yari Deka, anyone you see, Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Yari Deka Tarikaha, you should tell them about Krishna Upadesh, about Krishna consciousness. Amara Agaya, on my order, become a guru. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered all of us to become guru. Guru doesn't mean just sitting on a big seat and talking down to everyone. No, guru means to understand what the duty of a guru is, and all of us are supposed to become guru. Which means that as soon as we take birth on this planet, we get as a human being, we get a responsibility to act as guru. And if we don't take that responsibility, then we act as guru. Guru means a cow or an ass. So what is the responsibility? Because now there are four anarthas that everyone has. And I don't have time to explain all of them. But one of them, asat trishta. Asat trishta means thirst for material things. And ridaya duralabham, weakness of the heart. Prabhupada mentions this weakness of the heart in Bhagavad Gita as the cause of our fall down. And vishamaya aparada. Offenses. And then we have Sarup Brahma, Tattva Brahma, illusion more or less. Exceptions about Tattva. Now Balaram especially, he comes to destroy Ridad. Duralabham. So that's the business of the spiritual master. And what is Duralabham? Ridaya Duralabham Anartha. It has different aspects. One of them is called Kutinati or Kapatya, crookedness, fault-finding nature. That everyone in the material world believes that they're a material body and that they have some special attributes, there's something special, and that they compare themselves to everyone else. Of course, always favorable, generally. And there's a tendency towards fault-finding. In other words, in order to be better than everyone else, you have to find some fault in them. Just like Ramachandra Puri, although he's a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, he spent his life trying to find fault with the Vaishnavas, which is not a very good service. We don't have to worry about finding fault with anyone. Other people will do it for us. And the other one is Matsara, envy. Anyone ever become envious here of anyone? Envy means that we think someone has something we don't have. Or someone might get something we have. Pratishta, desiring name, fame, and adoration. So everyone in the material world believes that their body is something special. Their mind is something special. Their ideas are something special. So these are all misconceptions because everything, we don't have any original ideas. Everything comes from Krishna. This body comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. And everything is ultimately extremely simple. The spiritual world is only bliss, knowledge, and eternity, and we didn't invent it. It's there eternally. So this idea that we need some name, I'm saving everyone, I am the saver, surrender to me, here's my foot, touch it. So this is all a problem for the conditioned soul. So when a devotee is very fortunate, Balaram showers his mercy and these anarthas are destroyed. They come as a result of Krishna Rati, becoming attached to service to Krishna. So Lord Balaram especially comes and shows us a service attitude towards Krishna. As a matter of fact, all the incarnations, just like here on the altar, we have Advaita Acharya, we have Lord Nityananda, we have Lord Chaitanya, we have Gadadhar Pandit, and Srivas Thakur. They're all showing us, including Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, showing us a service attitude towards Krishna, a humbly service attitude. The more we understand how wonderful Krishna is, the more we become humble, and the more our service attitude towards Krishna develops out of love. And that's all we need. We don't need a whole lot of philosophy. Of course, that is our philosophy, by the way. We don't need a whole lot of material buildings. We don't need so many different followers. We don't need all these different things to become successful in Krishna consciousness. All we need is a service attitude towards Krishna, which comes naturally when Krishna reveals himself to us and we experience how beautiful, how magnanimous, how affectionate, how loving, how beautiful Krishna is. That was a lot of words all at once. Did you get them all? How beautiful. How affectionate. How attractive. How merciful. So when we experience that, then naturally we become a little humble. That's called love. Love and humility go together. Without humility, there's no question of love. Sometimes in the spiritual world, or in spiritual pastimes, there's Raghunath Das Goswami, and his spiritual form is Rati Manjari. And Shrimati, he's a constant servant of Shrimati Radharani. So one of his services is to dress Shrimati Radharani for her meetings with Krishna. And so, in his form of Rati Manjari, he dresses Srimati Radharani sometimes, but Srimati Radharani is very impatient because she's very anxious to please Krishna. She doesn't want to be delayed in any way because she's always concerned that Krishna may be happy. Because she's a personification of Ladini Shakti, of bliss, wherever she goes, everything becomes blissful. And Krishna relishes the eternal form of unlimited bliss, Srimati Radharani. So she's always telling, well, she's telling Rati Manjari to hurry up, Krishna's waiting. And Rati Manjari tells Srimati Radharani, well, yesterday you went to meet Krishna, but you were so much in a hurry, you put the musk, which is meant for your limbs, you put it on your eyes. And you put the liner of your eyes on your limbs. You put your crown in the wrong place. Everything was, but anyhow, you ran out to see Krishna. So you should wait and allow me to finish dressing you, otherwise it would not be auspicious for Krishna to see you like that. So as soon as Srimati Radharani hears that there might be some inauspiciousness for Krishna, immediately she stops and allows Rati Manjari to finish her dressing. And then when she's done, she immediately races out the door, but then she stops and she says to Rati Manjari, are you sure Krishna wants to see me and not some other gopi? So Rati Manjari, one of the services of the Manjaris, is too sure Srimati Radharani to give her confidence. She says, why are you just staying around here? Krishna is waiting for you. Don't you know that Krishna is most attracted to you, that you give him the highest pleasure? Why are you waiting so long? So then she takes her shoulders and pushes her out the door. So Srimati Radharani is the personification of unlimited love and pleasure. She's humble. She's unlimitedly humble also. Because love and humility, they coincide with each other. Therefore, Baladev is trying to help us become humble. To understand how to serve Krishna without these anarthas, without, for instance, criticizing others, immediately that's an aparad. Because there's a place for criticizing, and nor can we stop criticizing, because that's the nature. Constructive criticism can be there, in the sense that if we see something wrong, we should pray to Krishna or help the devotee get better, if that's within our service. But envious criticism is very bad. That's an aparad. Because as we can see, the deities are always smiling. It doesn't matter who comes before them. They don't become disgusted and say, oh my God, how did he get in here? They're always completely loving. They love everyone. And even if they might see something wrong, it's only with the idea of correcting them. Just like Raghava Pandit, he saw the deities dressed in their outfits, but they were starched. The Pujari didn't wash them. And starched outfits are a little itchy. So within his mind, he criticized the Pujari for not washing the garments that were put on Lord Jagannath. So that night, Lord Baladev and Krishna came to Raghunath Pandit in the dream and started to slap his face. And Srimati Subhadra Devi was there and she said, hit him harder. So it wasn't out of enviousness. Lord Jagannath is the most affectionate. Lord Baladev is the most affectionate. And Srimati Radharani Srimati Subhadra Devi had more affection. But Raghunath Pandit understood that he had committed an offense against Bhajari and Krishna had come to correct him. Just like even Daksha, when he committed an offense against Lord Shiva and Virabhadra cut off his head, he eventually realized that he was committing offenses against Lord Shiva and that if he wasn't corrected, then he would actually go to the darkest regions of existence. So it was by his mercy that Lord Shiva had corrected him. So similarly, Lord Balarama, he sometimes corrects persons like Rukmi, Dvivida, the gorilla, and others in his pastimes, but he doesn't do it out of enviousness. He does it in a very sporting nature in order to save the conditioned soul from becoming degraded and eventually becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. What time is the class supposed to go?
7:30,
okay. We might go a few minutes later. So in these pastimes, we can talk about the wonders of Lord Balaram because there's nothing else to talk about except for his wonders. Because he's in all our hearts as a super soul, he's expanded as a super soul there. And therefore, we're completely dependent upon him for anything we do, for any kind of strength. Without the mercy of Balaram, we cannot even close our eyes. We can't even bat our eyelashes without the strength he gives us. But he also gives us the strength as to become prepared to welcome Krishna within our heart, to get free from these anarthas. He does it in the form of the spiritual master by giving spiritual instructions. And sometimes, if it's appropriate, the spiritual master may chastise us. God. If we're ready for it. Usually we're not ready for it anyhow. Sometimes it may come anyhow. Ready or not, here I come. I remember seeing Prabhupada mildly chastising devotees. The most he ever chastised me is by hitting me on the head one time. He was giving me Gayatri Mantra in New Vrindavan. And they gave me this piece of paper. I couldn't read it first of all, it was dark in the room. Second, it was written by someone, I don't know who wrote it, but I couldn't read it. So probably was saying the mantra and I was trying to figure out what it said on the paper. I couldn't do it. So I think probably thought maybe I was asleep or something, so he tapped me on the head. And I sort of probably mildly chastise other devotees, take his hand and say, ah. But I didn't get the opportunity to see him really chastise devotees. That we have to read the Leelamrita or other biographies. But generally Prabhupada was quite affectionate because most of his devotees were not ready to get the thunderbolt. And Prabhupada, at least in dealing with me, I remember Prabhupada was really careful. Very sarcastic, but very careful. I remember one time I was standing there waiting for... Well, Prabhupada, we were going on an engagement and Prabhupada was there. And Prabhupada walked up to me and said, "How are you doing today?" And I was so much in awe and reverence of Prabhupada, I was like completely amazed. So usually Prabhupada, he didn't have to chastise us because all my other god brothers were ready to do it. In those days it was very easy to get correction. And I was very ready to give everyone else correction. I remember one time Prabhupada looked at me and said, well, when he was talking to me for some time, and then one of the things he told me, he said, "Don't try and teach your god brothers lessons." And I think, well, I thought that's why I came here. So these anarthas are very important, Lord Balaram. And if we examine his pastimes, we can see that these are the actual things that he takes away in his pastimes from the demons he kills, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura has said. So I'll just mention one pastime. There was one of my favorite pastimes with Lord Balaram is with Dvivida Gorilla. So there is one gorilla, his name is Dvivida. He was the brother of Minda, and he had his pastimes previously as a general in the army of Lord Ramachandra. Very powerful monkey soldier, general actually. He was one of the generals of Sugriva. Unfortunately, he got into bad association with Bhaumasura. And who is Bhaumasura? Does anyone know? Who is the father of Bhaumasura? Krishna is his father. And who is his mother? Yes, Bhumandala, actually. Bhumandala. Big brother, big mother. And powerful father. So Bhaumasura was not an ordinary personality. But he was a demon. And as we know, Krishna eventually killed him. In any case, Dvivida had bad association. He was friends with Bhaumasura. And he got degraded because of that. And when he found out that Bhaumasura was killed by Krishna, he became very envious and decided he would attack Krishna's place called Dwarka. Dwarka was actually bigger than just the Dwarka in the sea. It was a whole province called Dwarka. So Dvivida, who has his counterpart in the spiritual world, by the way, who's not envious of Krishna, but here his expansion was envious of Krishna, and he decided he'd destroy Dwarka and get his revenge. So because he had the power of 10,000 elephants, which is a lot of power, he sometimes set fire to the farms and the mining places, the agricultural places, all around Dwarka. He was into what we call monkey business. Sometimes he'd go to the ocean, because Dwarka was on an ocean, he'd wave his arms and he'd create floods which would wash over the cities by the shore. Sometimes he captured the men and women of Dwarka and put them into a cave and sealed the cave with a big rock. So if you're praying to take birth in Krishna's pastimes, be careful. Hopefully you don't wind up in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes he even captured the women of aristocratic families and forcibly raped them. So in that way he created mischief all around Dwarka. So one day, or sometimes, he heard this music coming from the Raivata hills. And he went there, because he used to swing through the trees, to find out where this beautiful music was coming from. And he saw Balaram and these beautiful gopis. And he was attracted, he was captivated, actually, by the beauty of Balaram's features, which were all perfect. Balaram is white, like a white elephant. He wears blue garments. He has a captivated smile. He was covered with beautiful flower garlands which smelled transcendentally aromatic. And his eyes were rolling out of intoxication because he was drinking Varuni beverage. Are they serving Varuni today? Yes. Yes. So you can remember Balaram's eyes were also moving in seemingly intoxication. And also the gopis were also exhibiting different kinds of beauty because of their beautiful dresses and garlands they were wearing. So Dvivida, being puffed up by his accumulated power, enviously, went to Balaram and the gopis and began to snatch their clothing away. Well, first of all, he made sounds like kikila, kikila. I don't know what that means in monkey language. We'll have to get an interpretation. And there he was, came before the gopis, and he began to show his teeth and move his eyebrows suggestively and even show the lower part of his body to the gopis. So the it says women in general take everything very lightly and out of fun, so they were all taking it just as fun. But he was insulting the gopis, and Balaram didn't like that. And then Dvivida snatched Varuni beverage from Lord Balaram. So that was the end. That was too much. So Balaram took a rock and threw it at him. But the demon artfully dodged the rock. So then Balaram took his club, and Dvivida realized Balaram was getting serious. So Dvivida took a tree and took off all the branches and leaves and went over to Balaram and hit Balaram on the head with it. But Balaram wasn't even slightly disturbed. As a matter of fact, he took his club and he smashed all the tree to pieces. And then Balaram took his club and smashed Dvivida gorilla over the head with it. And blood started to flow from Dvivida's head like manganese flows from a mountain. Very beautiful, by the way. Because when Balaram hit Rukmi over the head the first time, that was the end. But this is a little bit more drawn-out fight. So Dvivida took another tree and tried to hit Balaram over the head with it after taking off the leaves and branches. But Balaram took his club and smashed it to little pieces. And this way the fight went on until all the trees in the forest disappeared. And Dvivida took help from the mountains and started to throw boulders over at Balaram. And Balaram took his club, this is the original baseball game, and smashed all the boulders to pieces. That went on until there was no more mountain. And then finally Dvivida decided he would just go in with his powerful arms, he'd beat on Balaram. So Balaram, out of fairness, he decided not to use his club, but took his arms and smashed Dvivida on the collarbone. And Dvivida started to totter and fall, and then when he fell, he vomited blood, and the whole earth trembled and vibrated like an earthquake had hit. And the demigods from heaven were quite happy, and they threw all these flowers over Balaram, saying that Balaram had initiated an auspicious moment in the universe, killing Dvivida gorilla. So we can see that Balaram, in a very playful way, killed Dvivida, and Dvivida manifests or personifies some of these envious qualities that Balaram destroys. Being envious of Krishna, Dvivida gorilla decided to attack his city, Dwarka, but Balaram protected the city and killed this envious demon. Similarly, others, Rukmi, I'll just tell one more story. Next year I'll tell another one. Rukmi was the brother, Rukmini, elder brother. And she wanted to marry Rukmini to who? Who? How many say Shishupal?
How many said Duryodhana? How many have no idea what I'm talking about? Okay, it was Shishupal. Now, Shishupal is obviously a pretty envious person because he spent a lot of his time criticizing Krishna. And he got a little problem because Krishna decided to shave him with Susan Chakra. Matter of fact, he shaved his head off. Good razor. So Rukmini was envious of Krishna. Actually, we didn't shave him off at that time. But anyhow, Krishna had kidnapped Rukmini because actually Rukmini had written a letter to Krishna. She's his eternal consort. Who's Rukmini in Vrindavan Leela? Does anyone know? Chandravali. And who's Satyabhama? Radharani. So she's eternally part of Krishna's pastimes. Chandravali is not an ordinary personality in Krishna's pastimes. She's on the stage of what's called Mahabhava. But she's just a little bit lower on the stage of Mahabhava than Srimati Radharani. But she's submissive to Krishna. So it's not as exciting. But she's unlimitedly pleasureful also. And what's her relationship with Srimati Radharani, Chandravali? What's that? Yeah, cousin sisters. They're sisters. Sisters usually don't get along. It's part of the spiritual world, you know. In any case, when Krishna had kidnapped Rukmini, Rukmini had made a pledge, because he was a friend of Shishupal, that he'd get back Rukmini from Krishna's hands, or else he wouldn't return to his city. So he chased after Krishna with his Akshohini division of soldiers. As we know, he got defeated, and he had to go back to his city and live there, to his own city. He couldn't go back to his father's city. He had to build another city to live in. In any case, Rukmini had a daughter who married Krishna's son, Pradyumna, and Pradyumna had a son named Aniruddha, and Rukmini's granddaughter married Aniruddha. So during that marriage ceremony, they were playing Prabhupada writes chess. They were gambling. I don't think it was the same chess that we have nowadays, you know. Pawn to queen four or something. But anyhow, they were actually, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, they were throwing dice. Balaram's not very good at dice, by the way. He's not good at chess either, but according to the... He's not very good at gambling. He may be God, but anyhow. Everyone has something to learn. There's a Kshatriya who's obliged to gamble. Because Kshatriyas, if they're asked to fight, they have to fight. If they're asked to gamble, they have to gamble. So Rukmini took the bad advice of the king of Kalindi to challenge Balaram to get even with Krishna, actually, because he's envious of Krishna. So Balaram was the one he chose to gamble against, because he knew Balaram had a reputation of being a very bad gambler. I wouldn't gamble against Balaram when you hear the rest of the story, though. So, Balaram and Rukmini, they bet 100 gold coins, and Balaram lost. And then they bet 1,000 gold coins, and Balaram again lost the gambling match. And then they bet 10,000 gold coins, and Balaram again lost. So, losing, is not if you're a good loser, it's not so bad. But they started to laugh. The kings who were on the side of Rukmini began to criticize Balaram and snicker at him. So, you know, people get disturbed. So Balaram started to get a little disturbed. His eyes got redder. He He has red eyes, but when he gets angry, they become even redder. And then Balaram bet 100,000 gold coins. But this time he won. And Rukmi had the bad advice to claim that actually he was the winner and that Balaram wasn't the winner. So Balaram was getting really red hot. You could feel the heat. So now Balaram bet 100 million gold coins. And again he won. So Rukmi had said, actually, he was not the winner. How is it possible that Balaram could be the winner? Balaram is just a cowherd boy. He was brought up by Nanda Maharaj. How does he know about the princely abilities, like gambling or fighting? He's just a cowherd boy. He doesn't know anything about it. It's not possible that he can win. And the king of Kalinda started to show Balaram his teeth and criticize him. And all the other princes were laughing. But then an oracle came from the sky and said, for all honest purposes, Balaram is being abused. He's the actual winner. But King of Kalinda and Rukmi had the bad fortune of further claiming that they were actually the winners. So Balaram, without further ado, took his club and smashed Rukmi over the head, and he was dead and gone. And then the king of Kalinda thought it was time to leave. He took a few steps. Balaram grabbed him, took his club, and smashed his teeth out for criticizing him, like smiling at him. And all the other princes said, I think we're late for an appointment. They decided to leave too. And Balaram grabbed them and broke their arms and legs. And Krishna, he was there, and he didn't say anything. Because he knew if he supported Balaram, Rukmini would be unhappy. And if he criticized Balaram, then Balaram would be unhappy. So Krishna kept silent. And the party went back to Dwarka. So Prabhupada writes that actually in Kshatriya dealings, this is ordinary. These things happen usually at most weddings. So if you're disappointed of living in Kali Yuga, there's some problems in Dwarpa Yuga too. Problems in the material world. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Lord Balaram ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.